This morning I'm doing something I don't think I've ever done before in my life, and that is this. I am preaching today from the same text that I used 1 year ago, the first Sunday of 1998. In praying during this week and studying, it just seemed that the only thing that was laid on my heart was the same passage of Scripture. Now, I don't think you're going to hear the same sermon because, as I said, when I started to preach one time, somebody said that I preached the same sermon four times in a row before anybody recognized it. Now, I hope I've improved a little bit since that time, but I am using the same text. It comes from the passage of Scripture that was read to you. If you have your Bible, turn, please, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I suppose that more New Year's sermons have been preached from Philippians 3, 13, and 14 than any other passage in the Bible, where Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but with this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Those are wonderful verses of Scripture, and I'm going to be referring to them this morning, but that's not my text. My text comes from the verse right before it, a verse not very well known and a verse somewhat overlooked. In fact, it comes from the last part of verse 12. Paul says here, "I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I have been apprehended by Christ Jesus. In this passage, Paul said that he'd been apprehended by Christ. You know, in so many cases in presenting the gospel, we say to the individual, you need to make a decision. You need to receive Christ. You need to choose Christ. You need to receive the Savior. That's all right. That's all biblical. All of those are biblical terms. Joshua said in the Old Testament, "As for choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." That's right. And the Holy Spirit places responsibility on every individual for what he or she will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today without Christ, God loves you and gave his Son to pay the price of your sin, and he will not force himself into your life. He invites you, he urges you, even commands you to receive his Son as your personal Lord and Savior, and the responsibility is squarely on your shoulders for what you do with Christ. We read that all throughout the New Testament. But one of the counterbalancing truths, as is so often true in the New Testament, is not only that we choose Christ, but God chooses us. I hear people say sometimes, "Well, you know, there's a lot of contradictions in the Bible." I'll agree with them, only I don't mean what they mean. I read things like this. Paul says, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." That's a paradox. That's a contradiction. Jesus said, "He that saveth his life shall lose it. But whosoever loseth his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall find it." That's a contradiction. That's a paradox. The Bible's full of things like that. Right here's one of them. The Bible says the responsibility is upon every person here today to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior, and you are going to be held eternally responsible for what you do with Christ. But at the same time, I read in the New Testament that God chooses us, that God calls us, that God works in our own hearts and lives to illumine our understanding, even to cause us to see our need of Christ. I read verses like this. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." I read in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Now, those are deep spiritual truths that I really don't understand, and that's all right with me. I'll leave some things to God's wisdom that's a little bit beyond mine, won't you? But I read those things. Paul talks about that here. He said, the last part of that verse, he said, "I have been apprehended by Christ." That word in the Greek New Testament is the word katalambano, which means to lay hold of. You know what that word means. You watch the evening news on television, and you hear the announcer say, Nations Bank in Decatur was robbed this morning. The thieves fled off into the woods on foot, but the police apprehended them within 30 minutes. They were caught. What happened? The police caught them. The police stopped them. They were apprehended. That's exactly what this word means. And Paul said, in effect, "I was going down the road of self-righteousness, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew," and he describes all that he was, but they said, "There came a day when God apprehended me." happened on the road to Damascus. You remember the story. Had papers in his pockets whereby at Damascus he could put people in jail. He had stood with approval and held the clothes of those who were stoning Stephen. He even sought to put to death Christians. But there came a day when God entered into Paul's life and God apprehended him and turned him around. There's a lot of people here this morning that could stand and tell a similar story. Going down the road of life with no time for God, no concern about spiritual destiny, no time to think about heaven or hell, living in sin, living for the desires of the flesh and of the mind, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3. But one day God apprehended you. God turned you around. You were going pell-mell toward hell. But God came on the scene. Thank God for that. Who was the author that wrote the book entitled or wrote the essay, whatever it was? I remember reading it in college, called The Hound of Heaven. Remember that? It's the story of the God that pursues a man just like a hound dog pursues a rabbit and wouldn't let go until he got you. God does that in His grace. If you're here this morning without Christ, He's still chasing some of you. He's still trying to reach you. Oh, I know, dear friend, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit is not a pleasant thing. There have been people that have come into this auditorium the last 25 years, not one but many, during various times, who've actually accused me of preaching to them, thinking that my whole message was just directed toward them, especially if they're outside of Christ. You know why? First of all, I'd never do that. I wouldn't honor you by preaching to you alone when there's 190 some other people here. And secondly, I wouldn't do that ethically. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit has a way of taking the Word of God and making it real to you as if there was nobody else there in the audience. That's the Holy Spirit's work. And I know sometimes that the work of conviction of the Holy Spirit's not a pleasant work. I experienced it before I was saved, and I've experienced it a lot of times since I've been a Christian as He's convicted me of my sin. And it's not a pleasant experience. But on the other hand, you and I ought to thank God for every time the Holy Spirit ever spoke to our souls. Because without Him, there is no conviction. And there are multitudes of people going headlong down the broad road to hell today experiencing hardly any conviction. Because they're apart from the Word of God and apart from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the day 50 years ago that God apprehended me. And I know you say the same. If you know Christ as your Savior, we've been apprehended. Paul says, I've been apprehended by Christ. But there's more. There are three words right in the middle of the verse that I want to call your attention to. And I looked, and it's translated the same way in the New International Version, the American Standard Version, and the King James Version, which I've got up here in front of me. Paul says, I follow after if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. He said, I pursue or I follow after and try to lay hold that for which Christ apprehended me. There is a that for which in every Christian's life. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the purpose for which God apprehended you. The purpose for which God apprehended you. Listen, God didn't reach down and apprehend you and bring you to His Son, bring you to Jesus Christ, merely to deliver you from hell and take you to heaven. If He had it, He'd taken you home to heaven the day you received Christ as your Savior. He would have done it then. But the Bible teaches that God has His hand on your life. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. If you're here as a child of God, He has a purpose and a plan for your life in all of 1999, for every day therein, and for every week, day, and month until you meet the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a purpose. He chose you for a purpose. He chose you with a plan. And that plan was marked out from before the foundation of the world. God's got His hand on your life. Nothing's going to come into your life in 1999 that's going to be a surprise to Him. It's a surprise to us sometimes. But He knows it all, and He's got it all planned out for every one of us. And let me tell you something else. It's a God of grace that doesn't show us that plan ahead of time. It's a God of grace. Sometimes we wish God would, especially when we're seeking God's will about a certain matter. We wish that God would show us out in the future. But it's a God of love and grace that doesn't show us out there in the future. Because sometimes there are hardships. and we would dread them. I guess about the best illustration I can give of that happened to me a few weeks ago. Brother Dan Travis called me about 5 or 6 o'clock one evening and wanted to talk to him about something. I forget what it was. And we have a portable phone out in the kitchen, and I wanted to talk to him, quietly. So Billy, go ahead and get supper or whatever was going on, other noise out there. So I went into the living room, and as I was carrying that portable phone and talking to him, I had my shoes were off, and I had on my stocking feet, and I hit my little toe on a chair. And I declare I nearly broke that thing. In fact, I'm sure I did, because it took me 2 weeks to get over it. And here I am trying to talk to Dan, and my toe is just aching terribly. And I said to him, "Dan, if I don't sound very coherent, it's because I just stubbed my toe and it hurts like everything." Now, I want to tell you something. I'm glad God didn't tell me that morning that He was going to cause me to stub my toe that night. I'd have been miserable all day. I guess about the greatest parallel I can think is your anticipation of going to the dentist. Now, even that isn't as bad as it used to be. Aren't you glad God doesn't show us the future? Aren't you glad that He doesn't tell us what lies out ahead, even though He's got it all planned and He knows all about it? And even though, as a loving Heavenly Father, He does it, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, for our good, all His plans for us are good. You've heard me say a little saying before, nothing ever touches the life of a yielded child of God without first passing through the hands of a sovereign God who is also your loving Heavenly Father. That's true. He knows all about it, but He doesn't show us the whole plan in advance. He shows it just day by day. In fact, I ran across a little poem this week that's fitting here. It says, He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day. But step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know. I only know this minute. But He will say, this is the way. By faith, now walk ye in it. I'm glad that's so. Today's enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, His grace I'm sure He'll share. What need to worry then or fret? The God who gave His Son holds all my moments in His hand and gives them one by one. Aren't you glad that's so? Listen, folks, there's a that for which in your life. Paul said, I follow after if I may apprehend that for which I was apprehended of Christ. God's got a marvelous that for which, a marvelous purpose, a marvelous plan for every child of God here, not only in 1999, but every day and year until the Lord comes or the Lord calls you home. Now that ought to be exciting. Ought to be wonderful to know. When Paul realized that, you know what kind of attitude he took? Well, it's in the first part of that verse that I read. He said, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I was apprehended by Christ. Paul said, I pursue and I want to lay hold of. It's exactly the same word he used when he talked about Christ laying hold of him. He said, I pursue and I want to lay hold of the purpose for which God laid hold of me. Where he says, I follow after, that's a strong Greek word. It literally means I pursue. I pursue. It literally means running to catch, to lay hold of. It's not just tagging along. Some of you parents will understand this if you got little children. If you took your little children Christmas shopping, you went into the store and you took one or two children along, and you said, now you stay right here close to mother and dad. Stay here close to mother. And so you're carrying on your business, looking for things in the store. And first thing you know, Johnny's down there about, two aisles away. And you say, I said, get back here and stay close to mother. And especially if you're in a toy store, you're looking for something and here he is over here playing with something. Listen, let me ask you something. For whose benefit did you tell him to stay close to you? Was it for yours or his? It was for his. And Paul said, I don't want to just tag along after God's will for my life. I want to pursue it. I want to seek it. I don't want to miss it. I want to follow it. I want to seek it like a hound dog would go after a rabbit. I follow after. I pursue it. I've said to young people so many times, don't be afraid of God's will for your life. There are a lot of young people, and I've known young people who were afraid to yield their lives to God to Christ as Lord for fear God was going to call them to preach, or God's going to call them to mission field, or something else other than what they got planned. Oh, I say again to you, young people, don't be afraid of God's will for your life. You'll never be happy anywhere else. You'll never be happy. And I want to tell you, His way is best. I can testify that to you after 50 years of ministry. I don't know what God's got for you. But whether you're a teenager or whether you're here with gray hair in your head, as you face 1999, as somebody has said, make the motto of your life, the will of God. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Hunger for that. Pursue it. Seek it out more than anything else. Because that's the only place of happiness. It's the only place of joy. It's the will of God for your life. Paul learned that lesson. He said, I pursue it. I want to ask you, Christian, 1998, have you just been tagging along? Have you been tagging along like that little kid in the store? And the Lord's had to call you back periodically? Oh, how foolish. One of these days, even as I heard testify this morning, one of these days you're going to come to the end of your life and the things that you've sought to give your life to are all going to seem as trinkets, as nothing. And you're going to come to the place where you say, oh, how much of it's been wasted. It's only this relationship with Christ that counts. It's only being right with God that counts. It's only being in His will that counts. Listen, friend, the only thing that counts is being in the will of God, whether you've got 20/20 vision and perfect health or whether you're ready to die. It doesn't make any difference. The only thing that counts is being in the will of God. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, that's what I want. I'd like to have that. How can I find? I've had many young people say to me, well, how can I find the will of God? How can I know what the will of God is? How can I find out God's purpose for my life? Well, I want to say at the outset, I can't tell you. Don't come to me and say, what's God's will for my life? I can't tell you what that is. I can say this. I don't believe God is in the business of hiding His will from people that want to do it. I don't believe God is in the business of hiding His will from people that want to do it. I know that's true. And I can tell you how to find it. I think the secret's in two things. First of all, the secret is in obedience to the Word of God. As you read the Scripture and as you hear the Scriptures taught and preached to you and the Holy Spirit applies it to your life, as you determine to obey the Word of God, that's one means by which you're going to find the will of God for your life. Don't think you're going to find the will of God for your life or God's purpose for your life if you are living in disobedience to God's revealed will, His Word. Then along with that, the second way is by submission to the Holy Spirit. As you hear the Word of God, as you read the Word of God, as it is taught to you, determine that whatever it takes, you're going to obey the Word of God, and as the Holy Spirit applies it to your heart, or as He deals with other issues in your life, deals with a sin issue, or deals with a matter of witness, or whatever it may be, as you determine that you are going to yield and be submissive to the Holy Spirit, you will be in the will of God. I'll guarantee it. Again, to you young people who say, I don't know what God wants me to do out here after I graduate from high school or college. Listen, the way to be in the will of God 5 years from now is to be in the will of God today and tomorrow and the next day. And the first thing you know, 5 years will be here. That's the way to be in the will of God. Obedience and submission to the Spirit. By the way, the secret to all of this is found right here in this passage in verses 10 and 11. Let me just read them to you. Paul says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, and so on. I've already read that text to you. Paul said, I've got one desire, and that's to know Christ. You said, that's what I want. Okay, here's how you do it. He says, I first of all want to be made conformable unto His death. The Bible teaches that if a Christian is going to know the power of God and the life of Jesus Christ being lived through him, he first of all has to die to himself. You've got to die. Paul said, I want to be made conformable unto the death of Christ. A dead person has no life of his own. He has no possessions of his own. He has no time of his own. He has no will of his own. He's dead. And Paul said, I want to know what it is to conform to the death of Christ. I want old Saul of Tarsus to die and to be dead there on that cross with Jesus. I want to die. That's one of the secrets. And then he went on to say, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I want to tell you people, I do not believe that the Apostle Paul in verse 11 was talking at all about physical resurrection from the dead in verse 11. I do not believe he was talking at all about physical resurrection from the dead. He said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. Well, obviously, if it meant physical resurrection, it was obvious he hadn't already attained. He hadn't even died physically yet. What's he talking about? That phrase in verse 11 that I read to you literally could be translated, if by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection that comes among dead folks. Now, you see, he's just said, I want to know Christ, and I want to be conformed to His death. I want to die to Saul of Tarsus. I want to die to myself. I want to die to my will. I want to die to all that I am, my feelings, my plans, everything, being consumed in Christ. Why? In order that I can know the resurrection that comes from those who've died. That's the way to find the will of God. That's the way to be in the will of God. Oh, my child of God, as you and I know what it is. And I want to tell you, this goes against our old flesh. It goes against everything that's in us by nature. As we to die to ourselves and seek in 1999, as we seek this first week, this first day of this year, to make Jesus Christ Lord and to die to ourselves and to be broken before God, to be open before God and before man and be dead to ourselves, if it means being broken before loved ones, broken before unsaved people, it means to be dead to ourselves in order that we might know the power of Jesus Christ through us. That's the way to follow and pursue the purpose of God in our lives, and that's the way to know the power of God. That's what he's talking about here. In this passage, Paul said, I'm pursuing two things. He said, first of all, in verse 12, he said, I follow after, or I pursue, that for which Christ laid hold of me. Here in this life, I am pursuing the purpose for which God laid hold of me when He got hold of me there on the road to Damascus, and that purpose He's had for all the rest of my life. He said, I'm pursuing that here in this life with all that's in me. Then the second thing He was pursuing is in verse 14. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word follow in verse 4, in verse 12, look at it in your Bible. I follow after, that word follow, and the word, I got a King James Bible, I'm not too sure what yours says, but in verse 14, that word which says, I press toward the mark, are exactly the same Greek word. Exactly the same. Paul said, here in this life, I've got one desire, to die to myself, to experience the resurrection of Christ in my life, that I may know that for which Christ laid hold of me, that I can experience that purpose for which Christ laid hold of me when He saved me there on the road to Damascus. That's my desire. I'm pursuing it with all my heart. And also, I am pursuing that day when I stand before Him and I receive the prize at the end of the road. Folks, I want to tell you, there ain't nothing better than that in life. There ain't nothing better than that in life. To pursue all that God has for you and through you and in you here in this life, and then to pursue that day when you stand before Him to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, here's your reward, here's your prize. There's nothing better in this life. I can't tell you what the will of God is. I cannot tell you what the purpose of God is in your life. But I can tell you today, dear friend, you better pursue that more than anything else in this world in 1999. And I want to tell you, when it comes right down to it, there's nothing else worth pursuing. And I can tell you that to do it, you will be in the will of God. I'll guarantee it. You will be in the will of God. Thank God you can know it. Well, child of God, as I bring this message to close, how is it as you look at this year? How is it as you look back at the past year? Have you just been tagging along? Has the Holy Spirit, has He had to time after time say, son, daughter, I want you to get back over here? I want to tell you, child of God, I want to challenge you at the beginning of this year to say, Lord, I want to die to myself. I want to know that resurrection life that comes from those who are dead folks in Christ, and I want to follow after, I want to pursue that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. God help you on this first Sunday of the new year to make that your desire. And if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's still trying to apprehend you. He says He's not willing that any should perish. That gives me authority to say He's chasing you. He wants you. He loves you. But you see, He will never inject Himself into your life against your will. In His sovereign grace and wisdom, He has seen fit not to do that. He doesn't want a bunch of robots in heaven. He wants people who have chosen His Son as their Savior. So He's pursuing you today. If you're here without Christ, He's pursuing you as an individual. And as Campus Crusade says, He's got a wonderful plan for your life. If you'll only receive Him as your Savior, yield your life to Him as your Lord, you can know His purpose for your life. And even though it's sometimes we don't understand, it doesn't seem always good. Sure didn't seem good to me when I hit my toe on that chair. Some of experiences in God's will for your life will be like that. But the Bible says wonderfully He works them all for our good. And it's all part of His plan. Isn't that wonderful? And you can trust Him if you'll only yield to Him.